That's fun. Hey, it's good being here at Lismore Baptist Church. I'm about to go and check out the sites. I love your building, by the way. I've taken a lot of photos, going to put it on Facebook. Looks a really impressive building. It's good being here, hanging out with you. I like being in a church with Christians that like to laugh. It's good, you know. Sometimes I'm in churches where it's like laughter is like a sin, you know. You ever been to one of those churches? And if they actually do laugh, they try to disguise it as a cough, you know. Like, just clearing my throat here. I wouldn't want people in the community thinking that us Christians are happy or something. We can't have that. You know? But I don't want to bag it out. It was a pretty good gig. It went well. I could tell from all the coughing. You know, all the coughing. I've been married for 19 years this year. Yeah, come on, 19 years. Yeah. 19 years. And I'm married to an academic. She's an academic, which is weird because I didn't finish high school and I'm married to an academic. It's so intimidating. All her friends are academics and they've got all this fancy stuff, like they've got careers. They've got year 12 certificates. They can read good. It's intimidating. But being married to an academic has its advantages because we've got two kids. So both our kids are only half dumb. Hashtag winning. Bless the Lord. Hey, people often say to me, oh, Nafe, why do you do church gigs, Nafe? Why do you do church gigs, mate? People aren't going to laugh in the daytime, mate. People aren't going to laugh when they're sober, Nafe. That's not how it works, mate. It's not going to work, Nafe. And the reason I do church gigs, man, is because when I dropped out of high school, I didn't grow up in a church family. I didn't grow up in church. And when I dropped out of high school, man, nobody wanted us around. My mother was living in another state. She didn't want to see us. My dad's girlfriend hated me. She didn't want us around. And me and my friends, we'd left school. And not a single teacher was sad to see me go. No one. And then we actually were hanging around the street. No one wanted us. Shopping malls would say, get out of here, kids. You can't hang around at the shopping mall. Couldn't hang around at a shopping mall? Man. I mean, sure, we were stealing stuff, but still, you know. Move along. I couldn't even get a job at McDonald's. Have you seen some of the people that work at McDonald's? I couldn't reach those lofty standards. Man. And no one wanted us around and nobody wanted us and there was nowhere for us to be. And until one day a church, just like this one, just like Lismore Baps, came up to me and my friends in the park. Oh, is he all right? You all right? She's cool. Thumbs up from the mum. So, kid hit the ground. See, sometimes doing comedy gigs in pubs and churches, they're very similar. Like, that happens in pubs, you know, a guy falls off the chair. You all right, buddy? Yeah, fine, mate, keep going. There's a lot of similarities. Is he actually all right? I just haven't seen him come up yet, is he? He's all right. If mum's saying he's all right, he's all right. All right. Praise God. I'll continue with my emotional story then. You're cool. Hey, so I'm hanging out at the park with my friends, no place to be. This church, they come over and they're like, hey, you boys, we're having a meeting tomorrow night and you should come along. You're invited. And they gave us all a pamphlet. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I took it home with me. And I couldn't get it out of my head. No one wanted us. It was the first time in my life that someone wanted us. Nobody wanted us. And I was saying to my friends, we're going to go to this thing. And they're like, yeah, we'll go check it out. And we went to it. And we went there, all of my friends. And we heard them speak about Jesus. And I lifted my hand as a 15-year-old boy, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And I didn't know it back then, but God was rewriting my entire future, changing everything that was planned for me and giving me a whole different future. And usually high school kids who drop out of school from housing commission areas, usually we don't ever have a place. But the Church of Jesus Christ came and interrupted what my plan was and gave me a future. And today, man, nobody bags out the church while I'm in the room, because I call the church my mother. Because when my own mother wasn't around and didn't want me, the church, she mothered me, she loved me, and she gave me a future, and she included me. And so here I am for the rest of my life. Until I'm dust, I'm going to tell you people that the church is the most beautiful thing in the world and gave my life of hope and a future and turned everything around for me. Like, not bragging or nothing, but my son, he's grown up in a very different world to what I grew up in. He's only 10. He's already been to the dentist. A little bit fancy. Hashtag high life. That's great. Yeah, but the church gave me a future. And I didn't know back then, but what the church did for me, she's doing in every single country in the world, picking up the unwanted, the not needed, the cast aside, and giving them a future. In the richest countries in the world, like New York City, and the poorest countries like Jakarta, the Church of Jesus Christ for 2,000 years has been bringing people in and giving them a future. And I want to say to you, church, lift up your head. Because no matter what they say about us on Facebook, no matter what they say about us on the news, no matter what some YouTuber who lives in the home with his parents has got to say about the church, you are making more difference than any of those people rolled together into a big blob. And I want to encourage you, don't let them tell you what you are, because the church has done more than these people will ever do. Glory to God. Praise God. The church gave me a future. I'm married to an academic. You know, my kids are half smart. Praise God. Hey, that's good. God bless you people. Hey, one thing I want to share too. I was recently at the RSPCA. You ever been there? I don't recommend it. My wife, she's like, hey, we should go to the RSPCA just to check it out. You know, my wife, she's always wanted a cat. You know, she's like, hey, Nate, if we got a cat, that'd eat the mouse in the house. I'm like, yeah, but what are we going to get to eat the cat? You know, I'll come back to Lismore next year and I'll be like, yeah, then we had to get this mountain lion to eat the dog. It's this whole process. Anyway, we're at the RS. See, I just don't need a cat. You know, I've got asthma. I've got nice furniture. I've got human friends. Yeah, you know, I don't need a cat. I'm at the RSPCA and looking at the cats, and the RSPCA lady comes over to me and she goes, hi there. Would you like to have a little cuddle? Would you like to have a cuddle? I'm like, excuse me, I'm here with my wife. She's just gone to the toilet. She'll be back in a minute. She's like, I'm talking about the cats, you imbecile. Yeah. Anyway, then my wife comes out of the toilet. It's like, hi there, would you like a little cuddle? My wife's like, I'm with my husband. I'm always amazed that joke works twice in a row. Isn't that weird? It's the same joke. Do you reckon it'd work three times in a row? Then my son comes out. My son comes over and she's like, hi, little fella. Would you like to have a little cuddle? And he's like, Mommy, stranger danger. Anyway, my wife's in there cuddling the kittens. You know, how's he cuddling the kitten? And the RSPCA lady's like, yeah, these kittens were hand-raised. Because they were abandoned by their mother. I'm thinking, I was abandoned by my mother. No one wants to give me a cuddle. And then says, we really hope that these cats get adopted. On Monday, they're due to be put down. What? That's not selling, by the way. That's manipulation. And I'm like, hey, listen, lady, we're not buying any cats, okay? We're not buying cats. We're just looking. That's what my wife said. We're just looking. And she's like, oh, have a heart. Whoa, me have a heart? You're the one killing cats, lady. I've never hurt a single animal. How's that for heart? And I just thought all that with my inside voice. And look, I'm glad to say we didn't buy a cat that day. But we did buy two cats that day. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because the cat killer said. Yeah, because the cat killer told us, they're a bonded pair. They can't be separated. I think I was separated from my siblings. Well, we can separate human children, but not cats in this country. You know, God bless Australia. Anyway, just as I'm checking out, she's like, oh, would you like to get two carry cases? I'm like, hey, a minute ago, you said the cats didn't want to be separated. What, now that I'm holding a credit card, they want their own space? What is this, a trial separation? Now stick them both in the one carry case and shake it around a little bit. Anyway, just as we're leaving, she's like, oh, can I interest you in our special RSPCA blend of cat food? It's a lot better than what they sell at Coles. And it's only $49 a bag. $49 a bag? Listen, lady, I feed my human children McDonald's. I'm going to feed my cats whiskers, all right? Judge me all you want, cat killer. Man, it's crazy. Hey, I'm also a pastor as well as this. I pastor a church. Can you believe that? What a crazy world we live in. And I know what you're thinking. How on earth could you have not finished high school and be a pastor? That's easy. I'm a Baptist pastor. We let anybody in. You know what I mean? We have the lowest academic standards. Right down there. Bless the Lord. But it's tough being a pastor today because people are so sensitive. You know, it's tough. People are so sensitive. And people like really interesting sermons. And I'll admit, as a pastor, I am sick of boring sermons. I'm tired of them. Some Sundays, I get so sick of boring sermons, I just sit down and stop talking. It's all I can take. But you know what? It's hard being a pastor at the moment because everyone's really sensitive. Our church did a letterbox drop inviting people to church. And I got this angry phone call from this, I'm not sure what you call them in Lismore. In Newcastle, we call them morons. Yes, this moron rings up out of the blue. Mate, I'm not coming to your church, mate. I'm not coming to your church. Mate, that's fine. I've got plenty of overreacting nut jobs in my church already. Well, I'm not coming to your church. I don't appreciate religion being shoved down my throat. I'm like, hey, mate, it's just a pamphlet, okay? Just take it down a notch. You're like, well, I'm never coming to your church. And then click, the phone went dead because I hung up on him. And look, I've got to announce this just in case there's any morons here today. If you get something in the letterbox you don't agree with, just put it in the bin. You don't need to make any telephone calls, okay? Hey, I want to share a message with you guys too before we get on. And I want to encourage you a little bit to share your faith. I used to do sermons with a couple of jokes. Now I do jokes with a couple of sermons. Just turn it around a little bit. Hey, if you've got a little Bible, you can check it out on the screen. This is Acts 1:8. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I want to encourage you, but being a witness is just being a witness. Witnessing has been overcomplicated, and I'm here to simplify it with an idiot's guide to witnessing, which is the only guide of witnessing I'm capable of delivering. And basically, what I want to encourage you is witnesses just witness. A witness just says what they've seen. That's all they do. They say what they've seen. I can be honest with you, I've been in court a couple of times. A witness just says what they've seen. That's it. You know, oh, I saw the guy run from here to here. Why was he running? Where was he running to? I'm just a witness. And I'd encourage you, witnesses just say what they've seen. If you go and tell someone what you've seen, God can do amazing things with that. Don't worry about what you don't know. Worry about what you do know. If all you know is, I went to that strange-looking church on top of the hill, and they have bacon, if that's all you know, if you went to work on Monday and told someone that, the Holy Spirit can do something with that. You know what I mean? People can come to faith with that. When I first became a Christian, I was a great witness. I was telling all my friends about church. You should come to church. They've got free cupcakes. What do you mean free cupcakes? Free. Like you can eat them. How many can you take? As much as you want. I ate like five. I was telling all my friends, and three or four of my friends came to faith in Jesus because I bore witness to cupcakes. If you just tell people what you've seen and what you know, then you will be witnessing. And we don't need to worry about what we don't know. Jesus didn't say, you will be my debate team. He didn't say, you will be my arguers. He didn't say, you will be my know-it-alls. He didn't say, you will be my internet trolls. He said, you will be my witnesses. And then you'll see what God can do. And I was bringing so many friends to church that one of the elders came up to me and he was like, Nathan, you've got a real gift of evangelism, sunshine. You should do our evangelism training course. I did that training course. At the end of it, I was so confused. I didn't tell anyone about Jesus for 6 months. I stopped being a witness after I did the witnessing course. And I'd be witnessing to my friends trying to do it the way I was taught. Oh, Simon, mate, you've got to repent in the confession of the declaration of the burden of sin. And he'd be like, Nathan, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, I don't know. And finally, I just got rid of that and just got back to witnessing, and you're seeing what God can do with witnesses. We only need witnesses. This is the coolest thing going on in Lismore today. You're eating bacon in a weird-looking church. Listen to a crazy guy talk about whatever it is I'm talking about. And so you need to tell someone, and then next time I come back here next year, there'll be twice as many people here because you begin to speak. The only problem the church has is witnesses have stopped witnessing. Do you know what I mean? People think, oh, people aren't going to come to church anymore because of sports. Sports! People aren't going to come anymore because of Netflix. Netflix has come to destroy us all. Listen to me. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We overcame communism. They killed our leaders and they didn't stop us. When communism died, the church was everywhere. We will never be stopped. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, the only thing stopping us is witnesses who stop witnessing. But I'd encourage you today, tell someone something. You would tell someone something, something will happen. Tell no one nothing, nothing will happen. Someone something, something will happen. Nothing, nothing will happen. I'm not even speaking English anymore, but I hope you get the gist of it. Check out this next scripture. It says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. I want to give you this encouragement. It's not all up to you. Thank God. You are witnesses, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those. Let me tell you something. You begin to tell someone, even just saying the C word, not the C word that you can't say in church, the C word that you can't say in the world, the church. I was at church. The Holy Spirit will begin to go to work on people, begin to stir on people, and the Holy Spirit can bring revelation and conviction and begin to stir people's hearts. And you begin to say something, man. And don't worry what you don't know. You're just a witness. You're just saying what you've seen. Oh, Nath, what about dinosaurs, mate? Dinosaurs, how does that work? Look, I've never seen any dinosaurs. I'm just telling you, I saw bacon in a weird-looking church on top of a hill. That's all I saw. I'm just a witness. Come on, you got that? Put your hands together. That was a good sermon. Yeah, come on. It's tough, man. Hey, one more thing before I get out of here. I do wish I finished high school. You kids, you should finish high school. You should stay in school. You should. It's very important. It's good for you. It will help you in life. You know why? I'm an adult. I'm 40. I still can't spell good. So every time I'm using the computer, I'm being savagely bullied by spell check. Spell check's always like, Nathan, this word is wrong here, Nathan. So I'm going to underline this a squiggly red line for you, Nathan, just so that you're aware of how wrong you are. Like, thanks a lot, spell check. And I go, right click. No suggestions? You got one job, spell check. What are you doing? Spell check's always like, Nathan, I know every single word in the English language, Nathan. What you've recently typed is not even close to a single word that I'm aware of. But yeah, I got some revenge against spell check. Did you know you can add words to the dictionary? Spell check hates it. Oh, Nathan, a man of your educational background should not be adding any words to a dictionary. Yeah, yeah. Right click, add word. There you go, spell check. How you like me now? You know what I mean? And you know what? I'll tell you, my teachers at school, they didn't think I'd amount to anything. But I have personally added over 100 words to the English dictionary. Come on. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, I've been Uncle Nate. You people have been beautiful. Thank you very much for hanging out. And I'll see you next time. God bless you all.
That's it.